It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Live it off the wall. Where you give the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shan.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I am Chris Shearn. The Godfather, Joe Auriemma, will join us in just a bit. He is sitting here, just so you know. You know, this is not a visual medium. This is a podcast on the internet, but I can tell you that Joe was sitting directly across from me wearing his J. Pandolfo New Jersey Devils jersey, and it's making me sick to my stomach. But anyway, let's start out the conversation with the New Jersey Nets. They still haven't won a game. Quite a, you know, change in attitudes and latitudes from the Yankees to the Nets. You know, it's tough. I did the sideline reporting for the Nets last night, and you could see just how much the injuries are hurting Lawrence Frank and this team right now. As he said in his post-game press conference after the game against the Pacers, back on Tuesday night, we only have so many bullets in our gun. We can't let good teams get out to fast starts. Well, the Pacers got out to a 9-0 run to start the game. The Nets chip back. Third quarter, Pacers start that quarter with another 9-0 run. So it was too much of a hole to dig out of. Your only three-point threat is Bobby Simmons, really. And, you know, for so long they're dressing seven guys, they're dressing eight guys. Just when they thought, you know, they had something in Eduardo Nahara, his back acts up. So last night you had Terrence Williams, Chris Douglas Roberts, Brook Lopez. You had Trenton Hassel, and you had Rafer Alston. That was your starting five last night. That's the seventh different starting five for Lawrence Frank's team in 11 games. And they had three guys on the bench: Bobby Simmons, Josh Boone, and Sean Williams. That's tough. You could bring Red Auerbach back from the dead. He's not winning with this team. They're playing great defensively, don't get me wrong, but they're not able to sustain the defense for 48 minutes. And that's the frustrating thing. That's the thing you sit there and you're like, oh, if they could just put this together for 48 minutes, maybe even 45, you know, laps for three. Just to give you an example, the first quarter against the Pacers, they gave up 31 points. Then in the second and third quarters, total, they gave up 36. See, that's something with Devin Harris on the shelf, with Keon Dooling on the shelf, with E on the shelf, with Courtney Lee on the shelf. When they come back, whenever that may be, Jarvis Hayes too. And when they come back, I mean, the offensive people will be there. If they could somehow find a balance between the defense that they're playing right now and getting some of the guns back that are hurt. Listen, I'm not saying the Nets are going to be a playoff team by any stretch of the imagination. Eastern Conference is tough. It's not like it used to be, where the West used to just dominate and the East was just an afterthought. Pacers are a good team. Lost their first three. They've won their last five. Not saying the Nets are going to be a playoff team. But this is a team that when it gets some of these offensive threats back, they're going to be able to play with teams. They're going to be able to beat teams. Well, what kind of teams, Chris? I'm talking about Boston. They could beat Boston. I'm not saying they're going to get to the playoffs and beat them in the first round. But on any given night, when the stars align back on the Nets, Brook Lopez is a tremendous player. Tremendous. I mean, there were some passes in that Pacer game where, you know, you scratch your head and you're like, come on, Brook, you're better than that. You hear Mark Jackson, who used to be on Yes all the time, say, you're better than that. He is better than that. Right now, though, he doesn't have that. And Rafer Alston, I got to tell you, great guy. Great guy. Met him once. He's a veteran you want on this team. Again, not saying the Nets are going to be a playoff team, but when they get some guys back, this O and whatever it turns out to be, it's not going to turn around, you know, exponentially, but they're going to start winning some basketball games. Lawrence Frank is a good coach. When he has talent, he knows how to get it on the floor. And, you know, they were down 16 against the Pacers. They were down 17 against the Pacers. Both times they battled back. When they were down 16 in the first half, they cut it down to 6. They were down by 17 in the second half. They cut it down to 5. But it's those holes that they can't crawl out of. The holes that they dig themselves. Hopefully when Devin Harris comes back, and they're talking about Saturday against the Knicks, and Courtney Lee comes back the same time, the Nets will start turning things around. Now the Giants and Jets. The Giants come off their bye week this week. They're going to face the Falcons. And all these people who were dunning the New York Giants after they lost 2 weeks ago. How you looking now? Okay, and Joe and I didn't dun them. Dallas lost to Green Bay. And Philadelphia, who you can't figure out, lost to San Diego. I'm not saying San Diego's a bad team. But you're talking about the Eagles who lose to the Raiders and destroy the Giants. I'm just thinking that was an aberration with the New York Giants that day. And the Eagles have the Bears Sunday night. Cowboys are home against the Redskins, who had a big win this past weekend as well. Another team we're going to talk about is the Carolina Panthers, who are no longer a doormat in the NFC and are starting to play like you would expect the Carolina Panthers to play. Guess what? Their win over the Falcons last week, they're 4-5. 4-5. And they're right in that wild card mix. Atlanta's 5-4, Giants are 5-4. There isn't a bigger game on the Giants' schedule than this week against the Atlanta Falcons, in which Michael Turner might not be in the lineup. He has played with injuries before, but he might not be in the lineup this week. Hurts my fantasy team, helps the Giants. I'm an idiot. Anyway, we'll talk about the Giants. We'll talk about Rex Ryan, and you know, he's crying. Tom Hanks, where are you?
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying.
I don't know. Everybody has their you-know-whats in a bunch in the New York area because Rex Ryan cried with his team. No video of it, but the players, I don't know if you want to say threw him under the bus when they talked to the media, but they said he cried. He's an emotional guy. I have no problem with it. I don't. A lot of people might. I don't. I'm an emotional guy too. I was at the doctor's office with my daughter today. She was getting shots. Not only was I tearing up, I was sweating. You don't know until you have kids. It's tough. Certain things are tough. I give Rex a pass. We'll see how Joe feels about all the stuff I just talked about when we come back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com right after this.
Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Joneses with Kim Jones, The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
How you doing, Chris? It's good to see you again.
It's good to see you too, Godfather. It's been a long week.
I know what they did to Santino.
Yeah.
By the way, real quick.
Yeah.
In November, the Yankees have more wins than the Giants, Jets, Knicks, and Nets combined. In November. We're over halfway through the month. Just throwing that in there.
It's pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
Pretty bad. Yeah, well, like I said in the open, the Nets have... it wasn't an injury bug. It was an injury, King Kong or Godzilla or any monster movie character you want. How about Gamera, the flying turtle?
You really do feel sympathetic. You feel sympathy for a team that's just been riddled by injuries. But you look across the river, and you look at the team that, look, we knew that they were going to have a bad year because everybody's talking 2010, and Donnie Walsh finally got this roster with a lot of expiring contracts, and they're going to hit that free agent market next year, and they're going to be a team that's going to be a big player in not only the LeBron James sweepstakes, but Dwayne Wade and all of the other big names, Chris Bosh, that are going to be out there. However, we didn't know that this team was going to be this bad. They are unwatchable.
See, but this is the thing. Last year, I would tell anybody who was in earshot, oh my God, the Knicks are watchable again.
Yeah.
D'Antoni did a tremendous job last year. I don't know what happened.
They don't play defense at all. I mean, the Nets have a lot of heart. They're losing games 86-76. The Knicks, they're losing games 140-110. I mean, that's just, it's unbelievable.
The Nets only gave up 100 points twice this year, and that goes back to what I talked about with their defense. They are playing, they preached it in training camp. That's all Lawrence Frank talked about was defense, defense, defense. And you know what? They are practicing what he preached. They're playing very good defense. They did again against the Pacers in their latest loss. They came up short again.
I don't get... I know that D'Antoni is a offensive-minded coach.
Let me throw this out there before you continue. And we've discussed this before. I'm not, breaking any news here. Maybe on the podcast, but not with you. But I want to give you this as food for thought. If he didn't win with Stoudemire, Nash, Marion, Bell, and all those guys who could shoot threes.
You mean Grant Hill. I mean, yeah.
And Grant Hill. If he couldn't win with that talent in Phoenix, I know the West was tough. I know you had the Mavs at the top of their game. I know you had the Lakers at the top of their game and the Spurs at the top of their game. But if he couldn't win with this offense there, with that talent there running the floor, how's he going to win with these guys?
He's not. He's not. And the reason
I just don't. I don't get it. I know you have to bring in a top-line coach. But if you bring a top-line coach who doesn't play New York Knicks basketball, and what is that, Joey?
Defense. I mean, when you think of New York Knicks basketball, you think of Anthony Mason. You think of
Charles Oakley.
You think of Patrick Ewing. You think of smash-mouth basketball.
I think if you brought that starting five back, Derek Harper, Oakley, Mason, Ewing, Starks, I think those five right now pushing 40 can put a better team on the floor than they could put on the floor at the Garden right now.
I think they would compete.
They would compete better than any five he could throw on the floor now.
It's unbelievable how this team, like you said last year at some points, you said, oh, the Knicks are watchable again. A big key to this team last year was the play of Chris Duhon. I mean, at the beginning of the year.
He
was great. And he just has been awful since about mid-year last year. He stinks. This guy's terrible. In fact,
This is a guy D'Antoni wanted.
Yes, I know. I'm just going to throw this out there, Chris. I'm going to say, as a Knicks fan, get rid of the whole roster. Just get rid of all of them except three guys.
Who are the three guys? Give me the three.
I like Gallinari. First-round pick from a couple of years ago. Kid's got heart. He's, sometimes he's not the most athletic person. You could see he's not the most athletic person, but he's got skill. Tony Douglas, this kid has got a promising future. But still, again, he's got a promising future. He's showing that he's a pretty good athlete. He's a pretty good basketball player. But he's shining on a team right now that's just absolutely dreadful. So is it a product of just being on a dreadful team that people are just trying to latch on to something right now? I like Tony Douglas, though. And Jordan Hill. Jordan Hill, right now I play him over David Lee. David Lee stinks.
Oh, wow.
The whole roster. Those three guys, you can keep. Everybody else, get off my team.
Coco's getting upset.
Get off my team.
Oh, the Seinfeld references always fly in the podcast.
Yes.
But I have to also admit that I am a suffering Knicks fan. You know, 1999, the Latrell Sprewell-led team that went to the finals against the Spurs. I mean, this is a team that wasn't expected to do anything in the playoffs, an 8 seed.
Pleasant surprise.
They beat the Heat in the first round, which was fantastic.
Yes.
Fantastic to see Pat Riley's face. What was it? It was the Houston shot that trickled in off the rim. And when it went down, I must have screamed. So I lost my voice during that game. But that's the thing. I know, like, as a fan, you have to stick with the team through thick and thin. And I do. I'm a Knicks fan. I don't waver from my fandom.
Right.
But it gets to the point where these teams are unwatchable. Now, I'll tell you, me and my friends, we used to get pizzas. We used to get soda.
It was the
big
night.
We used to sit in front of the TV. Regular season games, not just playoff
big night.
Games.
Absolutely.
It was the Knicks. I was glued to the radio. It was just like I couldn't go anywhere without the Knicks being in my life. Now, because they are so bad, I cannot watch the NBA.
Yeah, I mean.
And I have to admit something else, too. I am a Nets fan, too, and people might get on my case for that because you can't be Nets and Knicks fan. But if you're around that team and you're around some of these guys and you're especially around the head coach, who I hope doesn't lose his job over this start, because I have to say it. I said it in the open. I'll say it again. He's one of the good guys in basketball. He's one of the smart guys in basketball. Lawrence Frank, in my opinion. Now, look, you guys listening to this, you can kill me. Joey could kill me. I don't think he's just a good coach. I think he's a great coach. And I think he's a great coach with younger guys. And that's what he has on this team this year. And if you look at what he's putting on the floor offensively, the patchwork team he's putting on the floor and the way they're competing on defense, that should tell you something about the coach that Lawrence Frank is. He's got nothing besides Brooke Lopez on the offensive end, besides Chris Douglas Roberts. I don't want to throw him under the bus.
Righty.
He's coming back
right,
from the swine flu. He had a great game against Indiana. He looked like he was unstoppable in the third and fourth quarters. But he and Lopez, you know, if that's all your offense and you've got no one else to drop the ball down to and be a threat, Alston was good too off the dribble.
Yeah.
But you could just.
Skip to my Lou. I love him.
I love Alston. But you could, you know, collapse on Lopez. You can collapse on Chris Douglas Roberts. If they're both on the floor at the same time and you're containing them, who do you have shooting 15-foot jump shots?
And look, Chris. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I want to compare the Knicks to the Nets. That you asked Chris Douglas Roberts a question in the locker room, and he showed fire. You said, you know, you came back from the swine flu. You put up a double-double. You had a great game.
You came back from 16. You came back from 17.
Is that promising? And he sat there for a second, frustrated. Not at your question, but frustrated.
From the loss. He didn't even want to talk. And
it doesn't matter about my numbers. Right. It doesn't matter about my numbers. It's about the team, and we lost. It doesn't matter that I had a double-double.
You played, I'm going to call you out. You played soccer. You were a pretty damn good soccer player in high school.
Yes.
You wouldn't admit that yourself, but I'm going to say it, okay?
Thank you.
He was a competitor.
Yes.
You hated to lose.
Absolutely.
After you lost the game, and your team was very competitive.
Yes.
So if you lost the game, could people talk to you?
No. And after, I took every loss. Like someone in my family was sick. Like I had to go visit them in the hospital. That's how I took a loss.
People don't get that. Like, when you're a competitor, and this, you know, I'm not saying, either one of us competed at the professional level. But if you were ever a competitor in your life and you ever lost, when I was asking him those questions last night, I was standing 2 feet away from this kid. And I could see in his face, in his reaction, in his emotions, I've been there. I've been parts of big, huge losses. And I know how it feels, you know, at the high school level, at the college level. Mm-hmm. Losses devastated me.
But that's the difference. The Nets are taking it hard. They're playing hard for their coach, and the Knicks don't even show emotion on the court. Don't show any emotion on the court. And that's what bugs me. But you know who is showing emotion? The Devils and Rangers. Oh, baby!
Well, the Devils, more than the Rangers.
These two teams are going to be pretty good.
Well, the Rangers started out 7-1 for the season. Right. Now they're 4-8-1 since then. And one more point for the Islanders, and the Rangers...
Islanders are playing good hockey.
Are in the basement in the Atlantic.
They're playing good hockey.
The Devils, by the way, they were perfect in November. They got off to a 6-0 start in the month.
They lost to the Flyers.
They did lose to the Flyers, who are also tied with the Rangers at 23 points. I mean, let's talk about Glenji and Grandy's Islanders really quick. They have come out of nowhere. They were 0-4 to start the season. Now they're 8-6.
I know. They are a promising young team. And the thing I like about all three hockey teams in New York right now is they're young and they're talented.
And I say this all the time. I'm a Rangers fan, true blue, since I'm 8 years old. Lou Lamoriello, if by any chance you're listening to this podcast, can you please go across the river? Hey, he can plan my castle onslaught anytime. This guy,
the most underappreciated front office person.
I'm a Ranger fan, and I don't know about Devils fans' appreciation of this guy, but I'm a Ranger fan, and I appreciate, I recognize, and I respect how he runs that organization, because every freaking season, if there's injuries, I looked at the injuries. They had 6 big injuries this year.
How about Martin Brodeur last year?
Not only that, but you're looking at 6 injuries this year.
With Paul Martin and all the guys on defense, Colin White. I mean, just, it's ridiculous.
And they're plugging guys in from the minors, and they keep winning.
I know.
They were winning with minor league players, a bulk of minor league players. Those 6 wins to start the month, go look at the rosters. Go look at the box scores.
It's unbelievable.
This guy knows hockey, and there should be some kind of multiplicity cloning process where he is taken in there, and so is Mel Brooks. But that's another story for another day.
I'm so impressed with New York hockey right now. And I hate the Rangers. You know I hate the Rangers. But these three teams have a chance to be pretty good for the near future.
You know what? I'm a Ranger fan, but when the hockey playoffs start, it's only good for the area, and it's only good for me if all three New York teams, and I say Jet Devils is New York team, and I'm from New Jersey, and you know it's a sacrilege, but all three of those teams, if they're in the playoffs, it's just fantastic
for
this area.
It's
because
great.
I don't know about you, I get playoff football. I get playoff baseball. Trust me, you know I do.
Yes.
The NBA is just a train wreck for me right now because of the Knicks situation. But playoff hockey,
there is nothing
like playoff hockey.
It's awesome.
Nothing.
It's awesome. And there's nothing like Devils Rangers in the postseason.
Oh, absolutely not. I
94, even though I was 13 years old and I was heartbroken for the whole offseason. Look, that was a great series. That was a great series. And it continued in 97, and the Devils finally got their revenge a couple years ago.
All right, game 6.
Yeah. Oh.
When the Devils are up 2-0 going to the third.
Uh-huh.
That's the series right there.
Yes.
I thought it was...
That's.
I'm a positive guy.
By the way, that's the Devils' fourth Stanley Cup.
I'm a positive guy. But I was 21 then, and this was the pessimistic 21-year-old Chris Sheeran. Third period, I thought I was done. Done.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
All right. We'll move on. When we come back, we got football to discuss. You know, we've neglected basketball. We've neglected hockey. It's about time we start talking about it, especially about the locals. So I'm glad Joe brought up the fact that the Devils, Rangers, and definitely Islanders starting to turn things around on the island. That's nice for the people out there, too. The Coliseum should be packed the way it used to be.
Absolutely.
And that'll be nice. That'll be nice to see actually more Islander fans than Ranger fans when you go to an Islander game out on Long Island. But when we come back, we're not done. Because we got to dissect these two New York football teams, especially the New York Jets coming off their loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, which drove their head coach to tears. We're back with more right after this.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the two-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at YesNetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports-related for Chris at 646-487-3668.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I am Chris Sheeran, as always, with Joe Auriemma, the godfather of YesNetwork.com. And now it's time to talk a little football. And you heard the song coming in, little Roy Orbison. See, now, I don't know where Joe stands about this. We haven't talked about it. But I said in the open, in the monologue, I really don't have a problem with Rex Ryan getting a little emotional. If you're that into your work and you're that into your team, I see teams as families. This is just the way I've always been my entire life. Any sport that I've played, any team that I've been a part of, the guys on that team, I'll do anything for.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. Mm-hmm. So to be a coach, maybe he sees himself as a father and he sees his family, his group, his band of sons, okay? They're hurt. They got off to a great start. Everybody had these huge expectations. They beat the Patriots at home for the first time since 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's got the fans behind him. He's got Now, since that 3-0 start, they're 1-5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he sees his family being hurt. He didn't do it in a public area, no cameras were present, but his players discussed it with reporters, and of course reporters run with it, and of course, you know, people in New York are going to tear this guy into pieces because he let a couple tears flow in the locker room in a moving emotional speech to his team. You know what? If they beat the Patriots this week in Foxborough, who's going to be giving this guy an issue?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Yeah, I Chris, you hit it on the head. I have no problem with emotions. It's an emotional game. There's only 16 games on the schedule. It's every game means something, and you become a family. And he got emotional. I mean,
it's his first time as a head coach too. I mean, we're not in that locker room. We don't.
Nobody criticized Dick Vermeil, by the way. Nobody.
No, they got on him.
We kind of.
They got on
him. Made fun of him, but
Mike Schmidt, you know, Opie and Anthony all the time. Play this Mike Schmidt clip when he's retiring. You know, when I was growing up in Dayton, Ohio, I think, I had two bad knees, and, you know, he starts bawling like a two-year-old.
Well, nothing's better than the George Brett on YouTube clip.
All you got to do is
George Brett, YouTube.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You'll find it. Trust us. And you'll be, you know, doubled over and thanking Joe and Chris for giving you that nugget of information. But
literally.
Oh, it'll all make sense after you watch it, trust us. But I have no problem. I had no problem with Vermeil. Vermeil's an emotional guy.
Yeah.
He got a Super Bowl with the Rams. And
players loved him.
He's a guy. He's a player's coach. He gets close to his players like they're his sons. If you get into that, you know, area,
right,
if you get that close to these guys, you see, and you know, you don't see what goes on in the locker room. New York fans, you tough guys that never cry. Yeah, I'm talking about you. You know, he sees, like, I don't know, one of his players injured,
mm-hmm,
with ice, wrapped up, getting cortisone shots. The guy cares. That guy goes out there and busts his rear end to help the team win, and they lose. Then he's back at the locker with ice everywhere, and he knows he's got to get that cortisone shot again, and it's not good for him, but he's still doing it for the good of the team. How could a coach see that and a coach care for that person and not get emotional about
it? You're right.
You know, I just don't get it. And if you're not a person that you know, my grandfather was probably, and I'm staring at a picture of him right now. His hands were as big as my, you know, from my neck to my belly button.
That's a pretty big hand.
Working in construction his whole life. Big, tough guy, my grandfather. Italian immigrant. Worked for everything. Learned the language, by the way. Worked for everything. Tough guy. My mother, walking down the steps with a wedding dress on. Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls.
Yeah, no.
This guy cried. I was an altar boy. After the first time I was an altar boy, when my parents weren't going to church, and now they're begging me to get to church. But I was in church every Sunday. They weren't. First time as an altar boy, my grandfather, walking down the church steps with me, he sees my parents in a car, starts weeping. It was so beautiful what your son did. He didn't want a licking from this guy, though. I'm telling you that right now.
It's not the crying that bothers me about Rex Ryan and this team. It's not. That's not the issue with this team. This team, all they've done all year is talk. We're the greatest. It's the best defense. We haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher in 40 games. Who cares? You allowed...
We're 4-5.
You allowed
the Jaguars...
The Miami Dolphins ran all over you. You allowed the Jaguars to go right down the field and score on you. Then Maurice Jones-Drew, in a brilliant move, taking that knee, a la Brian Westbrook. Look, you talked all year. Your quarterback, who wrote his speech in the shower, comes out with a prepared speech and just starts yapping off like he's a 30-year-old veteran. That's my problem with this Jet team.
I can't disagree with anything you just said. But as far as the Rex Ryan thing goes, I've said my piece. Now moving on to the Giants. And by the way, I don't think the Jets season is over either. they still have an outside chance. It's gonna be tough.
I think they're not gonna make the playoffs, but they could be competitive.
They could be 8-8. They could be 9-7, yeah. Like you said last week. Moving on to the Giants.
Greatest bye week ever.
Yeah, it was. They didn't have to lift a finger, and they're right back into everything. And you know, the back cover of the Post and the news, done. Season over. Giants being, you know, it was a picture of a medical truck, and there was a giant helmet superimposed onto it, and they were driving it off the field.
That's funny.
Great job. Guess what? Get the helmet off the cart. It's back on the field, and it's right where it should be. The Giants are now tied with the Eagles 5-4, and they're only a game behind the Cowboys. They play the Eagles. They play the Cowboys, both at Giants Stadium. That's the future, though. We have to talk about the present, and the biggest game for the Giants is going to be the game that Sunday for the rest of the season. And we figure they got to win 5 of the last 7, correct?
Yes, I would agree with that.
And starting with Atlanta this week. And they might have a break with Michael Turner not playing or not at 100%.
And you know what? I feel like they're catching their next two opponents just at the right time. The Falcons kind of are a little bit on a downturn right now. Turner's hurt. It's a winnable game for the Giants. It's a very winnable game.
Eli said his foot is fine. That injury is passed, and the bye week helped him tremendously with that, which tells me that he was still hurt before the bye week,
right.
And they never said anything.
Right.
And you and I hit the nail right on the head.
Right.
Not patting ourselves on the back. I am, but I'm not. Justin Tuck, since the cheap shot from the Cowboys in week 2.
Their defensive line is just not been
his shoulder, he said, has not been 100% since week 2, and he's wearing a harness, but he said, I'm not making any excuses. When I'm out there, I'm playing, and I should be doing my job.
And Human Ura, maybe he's still injured.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not the same. Maybe it takes a little bit longer to come back from that injury than we thought.
This is not the same defensive line that stopped Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
And you know what?
I think Canty's
coming back this week. So if Canty,
what about
comes
Ross?
Back, Aaron Ross is coming back this week. These are two key guys.
And is Boley in the line?
And Boley, yeah. I mean, Boley's a key
to
that
defense. So the defense, you're going to see a full Giants defense on the field against the Falcons.
Sans Kenny Phillips, who is just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? At home, Falcons banged up. Giants have to get it done, and they have to score touchdowns. Enough with the field goals. I mean, I understand sometimes you got to do it, but not as many times as the Giants. Lawrence Tynes is the leading field goal kicker in the NFL.
That's something you don't want to be. Huh?
All right.
That's it. That's all I got for you.
That's going to wrap it up. I mean, we were doing football picks, but we both stink. Let's face it. We're 10-11, and we are going absolutely nowhere. So we're not going to do that anymore. But it's been a pretty involved show. We got basketball, we got hockey, we got football.
Pretty involved, and we didn't mention one thing about Yankees offseason.
No, which is good, because I wanted to stay away from the Yankees this week. I know everybody wants to hear about them, but you know what? All you people out there that want John
Watch
Lackey.
Watch Hot Stove.
Yeah.
Watch Hot Stove.
Watch
on
Hot
Thursday.
Stove on, yes. And everybody wants John Lackey. Get your heads examined. Will you please?
Well, now it's Matt Holliday. Oh, see, we're talking about Yankees. Let's end this show.
All right, that's going to wrap it up. For Joe Auriemma, the godfather of YesNetwork.com, I am just plain old Chris Sheeran. We'll see you next week for more Off the Wall here on YesNetwork.com.